Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
Good morning, we're off into the run on this. How would you describe it, Rob? What you're feeling with the weather? It's quite nice.
It's really lovely. It's not lovely as in balmy sunshine. It's cool and humid and... It's not quite raining, but it could,
slightly,
and it has
spitting,
been.
Slightly spitting.
And the plants are loving it. All the trees and bushes are just going, lah. We're probably going to kill some snails today.
As a really nice Ghanaian fellow who worked at the petrol station, he was the most friendly, cheerful bloke I've ever met. He'd come from extreme hardship in his life.
So he knew joy.
Yeah, he was amazing, yeah. Whenever the kids came into the shop, he'd say, take anything, he'd just give them sweets. He was one of those. He was brilliant. And whenever it rained, he goes, the trees love the rain. He was one of those.
Absolutely.
And they do.
I mean, look at these trees up here. We're just crossing the road to go down onto our classic Parkland walk. But these trees are loving it. They're on fire. They're not on fire.
They couldn't be on fire.
It's the wrong phrase, particularly in light of what's going on in Canada. Apologies if you're in there, Belter, listening to this. What are we going to do today?
We're going to do
look at this.
A lazy 7 mile loop. That's how I describe it.
Good.
A few hills, lots of soft underfoot.
Yep.
Lots of chit chat. I feel, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to say it. I feel totally over the marathon now.
Yeah, right. Do you mean psychologically or physically or what?
I just sort of both through it. Well, physically, the fact that I got in touch with you last week and said, I'm going to do the marathon in October, to me that indicates that I'm already kind of...
Yeah, let's throw that out. We are doing the Yorkshire Marathon. That's our next marathon, isn't it?
And that's in York.
Yeah.
That's going to be great.
October the 9th, some such.
Of course, being a Yorkshire lad.
Yeah.
Bit of a homecoming for me.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll still remember me there. Do you think that'll give me a psychological advantage?
Yeah, probably. Home pitch.
Should I get Yorkshire Paul written on my shirt? Just to ramp it up a notch.
No, some kind of phrase. I've been to London.
So that's just the fact I've decided to do that indicates I'm sort of...
Well, that is, yeah.
Over it.
Well, it's part of it as well.
I feel like
looking forward is really good, and it shows a level of obsession as well. Because, planning for the next one is really helping me work it through. But I don't know if that counts. Planning for the next one is getting over it so much as not being able to get away from it.
Well, you feel a bit you sort of feel a bit rootless, don't you? Without one to,
yeah.
You feel like
it's like Christmas or the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah, but you're also sort of like, if you're preparing for a marathon, to be fair, I haven't started preparing for it yet.
Why?
I'm just running and getting quicker.
Yeah.
But you've got something to kind of hold all the training, haven't you? When you've got a big race, it could be anything. It could be a marathon or a 10K or anything, but you've got something to contain your running within, haven't you?
Yeah, a deadline.
Yeah, and a framework of like...
Yeah.
Those moments where...
Sorry, look where we are.
It is beautiful.
In this weather, it looks like the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
It's gorgeous. It's very, very nice today. But it also gives you like thing of like, you know, your diet and everything, doesn't it? And
yeah, sort absolutely. Of like,
I'm not going to have the seventh biscuit.
Oh, you know what I mean? You've been being strict already then.
No, not really. Not really.
Still on eight biscuits.
The booze is... I've got a bit of a tough one going on with the booze, to be honest. Because
I shouldn't think there's a day since the marathon when I haven't had a drink.
Right. Yeah. You've been hitting the old G&Ts. There's
nothing like a bit of sauce.
Yeah.
And the great thing with drinking, no downside.
No, absolutely not. No, they just feel great the next day.
Yeah, always.
Wake up ready for more boozing.
It's good that, you know, not drinking and driving. I can't really drink and comedy.
Right.
I mean, I don't believe that you should anyway.
What, in terms of drinking before a gig?
Yeah, yeah.
And some people,
and I'm not talking about getting hammered, I'm talking about having a drink.
Yeah.
But I can't do that. I lose it with the technical stuff and stuff.
My timing goes.
So if I'm working, I don't... I have a little bit of a break on it, which is great. But like you say, a bit of training gives you the opportunity to be a bit more abstemious.
But some guys drink before the gig and during the gig.
And after the gig.
And of course, after the gig. But yeah. It becomes part of their shtick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it becomes part of their life.
And it's most people are called alcoholics.
That's right.
Because they gig 5 or 6 nights a week. And they're constantly gigging. But the thing that's happened with my... with my life,
yeah,
is that bloody wife has stopped drinking.
Oh, how dare she?
I know. She's put the kibosh on it.
Yeah.
And that's quite tricky. So what am I meant to do, Rob?
You got to stop. You should stop as well. Show,
ask Rob.
Show support. You're training for Yorkshire now anyway.
No, but I'm not starting my training for Yorkshire.
You started your training for Yorkshire already.
That started mid-June.
You started your training already. Well, then you're training for the training.
But what I've been doing is...
God,
drinking.
Fly, sorry.
Yeah, we got...
Terrible action. That's the only trouble. This is great.
We got
humid spring weather. And so many flies died on my face last time I went for a run. That later in the day, flies were bringing little bunches of flowers to my face.
In remembrance.
Yeah.
They had a festival. So I've just been drinking around the house when she's not there.
Great. Which is that sounds healthy.
Yeah. I've been downstairs. Where's Dad? He's in the basement. So it's all going to... I'm not going to be able to drink much.
No.
Which will be good and bad. The good thing is I won't be drinking much, but the bad thing is I won't be drinking much.
Yeah.
Because it's good fun drinking.
And so, psychologically, what we're saying is... What started out as a claim to have got over the marathon is now an admission.
That we're drinking to forget.
And that we've replaced the marathon with another one.
Yes.
So the obsession is ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but you're right.
Physically, is there anything you've still got from the marathon? Anything noticeable?
Not really. I mean, I actually, no. I sort of feel okay. How about you?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things.
Be honest, Rob. Come on.
I think... I'm very disappointed with these shoes.
Because, what kind of shoes are they?
They're, I can never remember the name. They're Nike Obscured by Moonlight. Oh, God, what they're called. Anyway, okay. I don't make them anymore. And I really liked the first pair I got. So I sought them out online.
Yeah.
To replace them ahead of the marathon, and I did. And during the marathon, my right foot hurt.
Oh,
and
that's right.
After a couple of miles...
Oh, wow.
It hurts again.
Right.
And I think it's the shoes.
Okay.
But to be fair, I think my feet might have shrunk again.
What again?
Well, when I lost weight...
Your feet periodically shrink.
Yeah, well, when I lost loads of weight, my feet dropped to shoe size, which is ridiculous because I didn't have fat feet.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, when I lost weight, I lost the weight off my whole body.
Right.
I think that's also how... I didn't think of myself as being particularly fat before, is because I wore it all over like a suit.
Yes, yeah.
So I lost weight off my hands and feet.
So your ears went as well? Yeah. Your ears went down a notch?
Doubtless. I lost my wedding ring, you know, because it fell off my skinny finger.
Right.
I had to go down a shoe size.
You had to buy new earmuffs.
Shoes have got much harder to buy because my shonky toe stayed the same size.
Yeah.
So it's proportionately a bigger problem than it used to be. And I think... they might have gone down another half a size.
Wow.
So it might not be these shoes' fault. I think they might just be a little bit too big for me.
Does the reduction in size extend to all extremities?
No, that's the magic.
That's a good thing about it.
Yeah,
that's where it all goes.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Turns out.
Turns out.
Man.
Massive.
So you're in pain.
You'll be in pain shortly.
Not yet. I'll let you know. But I would like to know listeners' opinions on shoes.
Yeah.
Two things. One, what I love about the Nikes is the way they give a really good support at the back around the heel.
Okay.
But they're really soft. They're really light and soft and not too rigid all over. Now, one, I like recommendations for shoes that are like that. Not necessarily Nike, but maybe. And two, your opinion on whether doing the longer run, I should go back to the big boaty ones.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm wearing big bunchy shoes for... Have you seen, there's that new shoe coming out that's got a kind of built-in soft ankle support that goes sort of up the ankle, but as part of the shoe, a kind of slipper racing. There's a new funky one.
Is it one of those big one slippers you wear on both feet with the sheepskin inside?
They're not that good for marathon, are they?
No.
You know when you see people lining up with those, at the, they're not going to be troubling the
My
leaders.
Nan, kind of doing the double hop. Coughing as she smokes a black cat. She was never a big marathon runner, my nan. But she did have one of those big sheepskin one-foot slippers.
So you've got your... Is your foot the only thing that's kind of...
No. My right thigh...
Yeah.
Specifically, whatever the muscle is that comes up from my knee on the outside...
Okay.
I think I probably mentioned before...
It was a bit numb.
It was totally numb.
Right.
It's not numb anymore. It prickles and burns. So I think I'm working something through then, and there's healing going on. And I also have to remind myself that...
It wasn't that long ago.
And I'm running quite a lot now.
Right.
So it's not just healing, it's going, hey, ease up with the running.
So you, have
but
you
equally, it's not troubling me, so I think it is healing healthily, so it doesn't hurt when I'm running at all.
And does the stretching and stuff help?
Yeah.
Right.
And, it just grumbles a bit between runs. But it is odd how specific it is. It's quite impressive how my body's kind of working it through.
It seems to me...
I think it might be related to the shoe.
As an outsider,
yeah.
That you have reacted to a slightly disappointing London in terms of time, not in effort. I know you gave it everything.
Yeah.
By having a look at your training, seeing what needs to be done, I'm basically slightly worried that you've gone back into it too quickly.
I know what you're saying.
And I'm worried
me.
That you're going
to
peak.
Yeah, yeah.
Or injure yourself.
I might be snatching at it slightly. Yeah, I
You've
hear
got
that.
A lot of time.
Yeah, I must be careful.
Yeah.
I haven't run very far
Good.
Since the marathon.
Okay.
I think that if I run 7 today, we're not running too fast.
Yeah.
I've done like a 5 and a 6. I only ran... I'm still on 2 to 3 runs a week rather than 3.
Okay.
And the main thing I brought back is... those other exercises.
Yes. Well, that's good.
And that's
great.
Working.
They're great post-marathon.
They feel good. They feel really good. I've gone up. I did start planking straight away. That was my promise.
Yeah.
As you know. So I did a week of minutes, 5 days of 1 minute plank.
Yeah.
5 days of 1.5 minute plank, and I'm up to 2 now.
Wow.
Up to the 2 minutes.
That's good planking.
I'll keep putting it on until I get up to 4 hours.
Let's be plankful for the planking.
Oh, nice.
But the...
Plank you for that.
I've actually...
Your planker. Oh, it smells nice here.
Oh, it smells gorgeous.
Is that those flowers? I don't know. Just get these flowers just to visually catch that smell. It's so verdant, London, today. It's ridiculous.
It's that sort of dizzying seasonal confusion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nature just doesn't know what's going on. We had that surge at the weekend. I went for a... couple of runs at the weekend, actually, because I just, when it's sunny, I just like to go out for a
yeah,
run.
Yeah,
I just like it.
So where have you been and how did it go? Because it was hot, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just did sort of what we're about to do now, so I just did a 7 on Sunday morning. And actually,
That was excellent, wasn't it? There was a woman walking, we're running down the road and she was walking down the road. Feels like we've had our own little street festival.
Yeah.
There's no cars, so yeah, that's right, down the middle.
I went to... Heathside Harriers yesterday.
Yeah.
And did a track session.
Heathside.
With the guys.
Harriers. Yeah.
With the fellas and the women there. And it was the first sort of club session I've been to in probably 30 years. And I really enjoyed it.
You'll do that again.
I'm considering joining the Harriers.
Nice.
Becoming a Harrier. Because I want to get faster this summer.
Harriers are particularly good at running on the spot. I'd say, yeah, jump jet joke. Yeah. Not a hilarious one, I'll give you that.
But, so we did five. We went to this track, which was really busy.
Dropping down back into Queenswood. Are we in Queenswood yet? One of these woods, anyway.
And we did five 600-metre reps. It was meant to be 1,500-metre pace.
Yeah.
With quite short recoveries. And I really enjoyed it. It was tough, but I really enjoyed it.
See, just then, and don't get me wrong, this is purely technical, I'm totally into it. But as you started to get specific there, I stopped being able to understand. Well, it got a bit technical.
600 metres is just 1 hour.
1,500 and then with recoveries, but it was really brief, but they were six reps and at 1,500 pace.
So what you do...
That sounds a bit more like maths than running to me.
It was running.
Good, good.
It was fast running.
Good.
So it was like the equivalent by the end of it of running nearly 2 miles at 5 minute 20 per mile pace.
Okay. That's fast then.
Which can only be good. But it was just like, it was just intense bursts of track.
Gunfire.
Track mayhem. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, cool. Well, I dropped my daughter off in the sunshine in Islington.
Yeah.
And I ran to Primrose Hill. Do you remember when we did that 17?
Yeah.
And we ran out along the canal all the way to Primrose Hill.
Yeah.
I did that. It's absolutely fantastic. It was so sunny.
Oh, man.
So many people, but I was kind of ready for it.
Yeah.
Although that bit in the food market in Camden was just preposterous.
Yeah, pretty busy.
But I did it. I got through. And then I went to Primrose Hill. I saw how far I'd gone, how much time I had. And in light of what you were saying about going back too hard, you're probably right. I ran up Primrose Hill like that.
Yeah.
So I ran straight down the front of it.
Yeah.
And then ran straight back up the front of it again. Just to get a couple of hills.
To get some hills.
And that was very satisfying.
Because that's a big thing for you. You want to get more hills.
Absolutely. It's good for the engine.
Yeah.
So I did that straight away.
Yeah.
And back. And the whole thing felt great. And all in the heat as well. It was
the heat's just made for running, isn't it?
Just a whiff of that Spirit of Cyprus.
Yeah.
I found it amazing. It's so British, isn't it? The number of people who by midday on Saturday were saying, it's actually a bit too hot. It's like, guys, it isn't.
No.
It just isn't. But people love to moan.
But they also get really desperate about it. It's like, this might be it. This might be summer right here. Yeah. I'll never get this again. They just go absolutely mental.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, I was one of them, because I have them in my shorts and T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Just lapping it up.
Well, it's life, isn't it? You make the best of it.
And we both got a bit of a tan.
Yeah.
We both, you catch the sun.
Well, I tan easy. I mean, I tan ridiculously.
Yeah.
I'm probably getting tan now.
Yeah.
With my blue hair these days. I look like a Marge Simpson's hat on a Caramac. That's my look, which is great. You know, I love that. I love being not just one, but two ridiculous colours. To be fair about the heat, two friends of mine did the Hackney Half.
Oh, of course.
And a Hackney Half does seem to be cursed with heat.
That seemed to catch...
Because they moved it forward, because the year I did it, it was in June.
Yeah.
And it was so hot, we talked about that before.
Yeah.
But they did it on Sunday, and of course it was the hottest day of the year, you know.
It caught a lot of people out.
Everyone I've spoken to was like, yeah, it was 5-10 minutes slower than I hoped, and there was people really suffering. And, you know, Hackney Half in particular, the last 3 miles are in shade-free Olympic Park. I always think of the bit in Lawrence of Arabia where he goes back into the Devil's Anvil.
Yeah.
In the extreme heat to save his friend. And he says, doesn't he, Lawrence of Arabia, when he's on the Devil's Anvil, he says, if anything, it's too hot. And there I think you can respect him.
I thought you were going to say, this reminds me of the Hackney Half. But didn't they deliberately slow people down to walk towards the tail end? They were getting worried about heat exhaustion.
Well, I think that's fair.
It got a bit dangerous, didn't it?
I don't know about that, but I can see why they would, because people just press on, don't they? It's so hard to recognise the way
it really
all changes.
It's debilitating, isn't it, heat? Yeah.
Yeah. And equally, I think we all benefited from the chill in London. Although
we were so lucky, I think, with the weather.
Nearly got hypothermia straight after, but that's a whole other story.
But it was perfect, wasn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, my feet are shrunk.
Yeah.
My knee's hurting. No, thigh. And I'm probably going at it too hard.
Right.
You, in the meantime, are going out with your real friends and running 5 minute miles.
No. The whole thing is, rekindled the inner club runner with me.
Yeah, and how competitive is club running? Is it like a park run? Is it kind of as competitive as you want it to be?
Yeah, absolutely. There's people of all levels. Like yesterday, we did these intervals that you don't understand or want to understand.
So it's 15 reps and then a very short burst.
It's five.
And then you go, you're at pace.
It's five times 1.5 laps around the track.
To carry four.
So you're being intentionally obstructive.
That's fair.
And you had three levels of people doing it. So you had the people really, really quick.
Upstairs.
And then you had the B group, and I was towards the back of the B lot.
Oh, God. Slippery here. I nearly slipped in this mud, but I didn't.
And then you had the C group, so you had just three. And it's like what running is. Everyone's at their own level, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like the clubs as well, like then the nightclubs and things like that. Just haven't got much experience of that stuff.
Yeah, totally. But I always think that's a great thing with running. It's a total leveler.
Yeah.
And no one cares how quick or slow people are. It's all about your effort.
There's only one way in life, and that's your own. That's your own. That's your. It's the levelers.
That's your own.
I was a total leveler there.
So people don't care.
Yeah, cool.
People just do it. So and by the end, you've just done.
Whoa.
I mean, there was one bloke I'd met who'd done a 2:56 marathon in London.
Yeah.
He must have been about 60.
Yeah. He's running at about 60.
Well, no, he set off for the reps, just couldn't hack it after London, just didn't bother doing it anymore.
Yeah.
So you've got people just having their own experience.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah, balancing things out. And you've like that.
And you've got your classic old gnarly coach who's sort of shouting out times as you go past.
Is he like Sid Caesar in Greece?
So he's like...
Big fat cigar.
He was quite lardy. He didn't look obviously athletic. But he was just quite good. Just quite a laugh, you know.
When we came here a few weeks ago, he was saying that this is like Jurassic Park. It's so much more like Jurassic Park now.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I'm slightly concerned that something unusual
is going to... raptors going to come from
that's them. Quite sweet. It's quite a little one. Oh, it's pecks me with poison. Look at that. There's possibly... living biological specimens in there.
I love this part of the room, though.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The running, what was I going to say about doing the... you made me think something's gone. And also, I've got the music from the opening sequence of Road to Lost Start playing in my head. It's SATS. My son's in year 16, it's SATS.
Yeah.
And I did... I was doing my assignment.
Yeah.
My mum and dad saying... if you finish your assignment, we're going to see Raiders of the Lost Ark on Friday.
Yeah.
And Friday came, and we all got dressed up and got to the front door. I've seen this time of year, it's just fantastic. What are we talking, 83, 84?
Yeah.
And, or earlier. Anyway, 80, 81, doesn't matter. And then I got to the door, and we were all ready to go. And I said, look, Mum, Dad, I didn't actually... finish my assignment. And they went, oh well. And of course we still went to cinema.
Well, that's nice.
Because they weren't going to have their Friday
night
messed up.
Well, it's nice that they let you go, yeah.
And I thought I was going to be in real trouble. It was
quite
a very
sweet
special
you did
moment.
The confession. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I really thought I did. It was I was confessed in full spirit of expecting
the night
everyone to give me that crestfallen look and to go up to their rooms and lock themselves
that's
in.
That's it then. The night's off.
Cancelled. Probably from a parenting point of view, they should have done.
Yeah. But thank goodness I didn't.
So we're going to the cinema on Friday, and I just made the link.
To see...
Florence
all
Jenkins.
Right.
Florence Foster Jenkins.
I've heard good things about that.
Well, apparently Hugh Grant in particular is great. I'm sure Meryl Streep is also great, but she's so great, people just take her greatness for granted. Or Captain America Civil War. Which I've heard is, the initial reviews were very strong.
My kid wants to meet.
Word of mouth is more mediocre.
So have your kids been doing the SATs at the moment?
My son is, yeah.
Right.
He's all right though, he's very sanguine. I'd say, it's in his nature to be very unflappable.
So not
in a wildly confident way, he's a big softie, he's just really steady.
And their
skill's been quite bad, and I'm sure they're not the only one. You know, sort of playing into it. This stuff in the media about the kids getting stressed about exams.
Yeah.
And to fix that, fix, in inverted commas, the school are like, oh, you might be stressed this week, kids, so make sure you do this and that. It's like, well, they're going to be stressed.
Yeah.
Now you've told them that they're going to be, you know what I mean? So, but he's not like that. He's quite, he knows he's pretty strong. Of course, the other weird thing is all maths and English. I mean,
right.
Never mind creativity and modern technologies. There isn't even any, I don't know, geography or history or anything. Just maths and English.
Were you not tempted to join in the strike action?
It was year two, really.
Right.
Which is quite right. I mean, they're 4 years younger than him. They're seven, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
So it wasn't on the table for us. But, and also, yeah, he's loving it. I mean, the other thing that happened with the Sats this week is someone leaked the results.
Yes, I saw that.
And I felt it was exactly his test, you know, that went out online.
You're right.
On Monday night for a test he was doing on Tuesday morning.
Wow.
But I didn't want to tell him because he's good to go, you know.
Yeah.
And that
would be bad parenting.
So we're all going to go to the cinema. He's probably going to turn around on Thursday night and say, actually, I did really badly.
Yeah.
And I go, never mind, off we go.
And the circle will be complete. So the actual results of the thing were leaked online, so kids could have a look if they wanted to.
No, the questions.
The questions, right.
But, of course, if you could look at the questions with your tutor or your parents or your teacher the night before the exam, the answers, particularly at the level they're at, might be available.
Yes. But it's that sort of brief point about the educational system.
Yes.
I think if you can put off hothousing kids for exams as long as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Because by the time you get to, you know, secondary school, O-levels, A-levels, it's all about the exams.
Absolutely.
Just crazy.
And as someone was saying last night, one of the other comedians I was on with last night was saying, it's all very well if you want a service industry, a bunch of intelligent people to get on the phone and talk to people about money and services and generally do office jobs at all levels.
Yeah.
But if you want a new Beatles or Grayson Perry or, you know.
But those people come anyway. You can't, I mean.
I don't know. I think things like art school create a space for that, you know. It's not, you can't just assume it's going to happen. Apart from anything else, it will happen. But they'll all be rich. Yeah. You know, the whole kind of Julie Walters, Mike Lee thing would die away and it would just all be, well, that's already happening. That's who Benedict Cumberbatch and Eddie Redmayne are.
Yeah.
Excellent actors. But also rich, posh school graduates who've got the time to sit around being creative. You know?
Yeah.
You don't agree, do you?
Well, just
he doesn't agree.
I just think talent finds a way. I mean, I know what you're saying, but
I think that's
Shane Meadows.
Someone else's problem.
Working class people come through.
But do they? To ask Shane Meadows what his background is. Has he ever spent any time signing on? Did he have to prove that he was fit for work? You know?
Yeah, but the people who did that in the 80s, that was part of a generation who did really well in the arts.
Yeah.
Who signed on.
That's right. So if you can't, you don't, you won't.
Yeah, but my argument is that people did.
People
were brought up in terms of the recession in the late 70s and 80s and signed on with benefits. That still came through.
Yeah, but
I know what you're saying. Obviously,
I think the welfare state was much stronger in those days.
You need to support.
You could still university grants existed in the 80s.
Yeah, no, that's very important. But then again, more kids are going to university. More working class kids are going to university.
Yeah, but now we're full circle. Then going back to university just to learn skills for work. It's all vocational. There's a kind of no one's curating that concept of spending 5 years of your life kicking back, wondering what you might do next.
Yeah.
Which I know, you know, that's exactly what people don't want because it sounds like wasted time.
But it was
but that's
good
where
fun.
That's where ideas come from.
It was good fun, yeah.
Hey, they've taken away the little bridge.
And all the jobs,
all
the jobs that kids are learning how to do, they could very well get robotised anyway.
Exactly. The jobs won't necessarily exist. It'll all be all right.
That's nice, isn't it? Do you want to do it?
What are we going to do? Run across the cricket pitch?
In our bare feet?
I can't take my shoes and socks.
Can't you?
Yeah, all right, we'll do that. Okay,
let's
go over to this bench. We did this probably exactly a year ago, didn't we? So, we'll pop our shoes off. If you can hear a voice in the background, it's an incredibly strident teacher. But she's not doing maths. And that's important. Okay, I'll be able to tell you what my shoes are then.
Yeah.
So do you have different? Do you have several different running shoes?
I've just got two pairs. I've got one for sort of like lazy big mileage, like these ones here.
Yeah.
And then I've got your racers.
Lunar Eclipse. Our feet are going to be so dirty.
It's all right.
Okay, it's good.
So
for
what
me.
We've done here, we've seen this a nice little bit of smooth, wet grass. And we've decided to do a few
cool wet grass. Cool wet grass. Cool wet grass is what Peter Duncan had to say to himself when he walked on hot coals on Blue Peter.
Yeah.
We don't have to say cool wet grass because it is cool wet grass. Okay, so those of you who have been thinking how disgusting exactly are these feet. There you go. This is them. You'll see a deformity on the right there. Every second toe is black. Prepare yourselves. There it is.
What about Mike? Do you want to get...
Oh, Tonkin! No, I'm not... I can't... Okay. Do you want to see a picture of Tonkin?
Just a quick ganglion.
We're going to lose a lot of listeners when I show people pictures of your ganglion. Oh. Oh, God, that meant I had to look at it. Okay, so...
So can I tell you quickly before we do this the story of why I love doing this so much?
Yeah. Let's go to the cricket sight screen and we'll run from one to the other.
No, because you've got to run through routes. We'll just run up and down.
Why do you love this so much?
Because when I was a kid, my dad married this woman and she was a bit of a maniac.
Yeah.
And she didn't like me going running. It's a bit of a confession, this. And she used to confiscate my running trainers. So what I used to do is I used to get up before anyone was up in the house. She was a maniac.
Yeah.
And I used to go to the local golf course and do sprints on the grass at dawn. With a wet grass. And it was
so we're basically, we're on that golf course at dawn right now.
It's a slight reenactment, but it's much more joyful because I'm an adult. She's not here. I'm with a really good mate. And it's all good fun. But I do like running on grass as well in your bare feet.
Yeah.
Do you not
like it?
It
feels great already. I love it. Now, I actually think it's so healthy for me to do it because I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. And then I do, you know, it's classic.
So we'll just do it. We'll just do four times. And don't leather it, but just stride out.
Okay. Lead the way. Here we go.
First one.
Here we go. It feels so nice, and then there might be a stone.
Yeah.
Which would be fun for everyone.
That's nice.
Well, I think, in the spirit of confession,
here we go. That's enough. That's it.
Are we going back again? Are we
take
a break?
Yeah, we'll have a little jog, then we'll go back.
I love it. That's wonderful.
See, they're not even that far enough to get tired. They're just a little leg stretch.
Just a little push.
Go on then, in the spirit of confession.
Yeah, so we've had not doing my assignment, still seeing where's your start. You're going down to the golf course for a run on the grass at dawn, which is very romantic. It's all a bit Jane Eyre, that one.
Yeah. On the clifftops.
I told a story in the show last night. Now, this is... It's very difficult doing a topical show because I got lumped with... they wanted me to do comedy about Hillsborough. So, well, there's nothing funny about it, and they don't want to talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I ended up telling them a story of something that happened to me. Are we going again? It's number three.
Yeah.
During the actual Hillsborough disaster...
Yeah.
I was at a friend's house, and it was unfolding on the television. First of all, his mum came in.
Yeah.
And we gradually realised, like you do with terrible, terrible things, the horrific magnitude of what was happening.
He was a slow unfolding.
Yeah. And because at first it's like, oh, I wonder if they're going to, you know, start the football up again or whatever.
Yeah.
And then realising that people were dying. And obviously it was a terrible thing.
Yeah.
So I went home because we didn't really feel like playing. And when I got home, I was feeling pretty low, as you would. And is that us?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, listeners, for coming with us on those four little sprints. That was good. I think that will probably cure all my foot aches.
It's actually good to run on grass a little bit for your feet.
So I got home, and I said, oh, do you know what's this terrible? Did you hear what happened? And my brother and my dad said... is it about the football? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, don't tell us anything. We're taping it. So obviously I went to to be fair to them, imagine how bad they felt. I kind of just went to the kitchen and started crying. And my mum put it all together and explained it to them.
That's like a really sad Likely Lads, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Ow. Oh, no. My foot just slipped. As I sat on the bench with my shoes on, I just slipped on the cool, wet grass and kicked the wrought iron end of the bench pretty much as hard as I could.
Nice.
Yeah. But hey, it's good for me. Look at my foot now. It's filthy. So, That's my experience of that tragedy. And, you know, it's all context, isn't it? It's all perspective. Terrible thing.
There's something so England, isn't it? This vista.
Right. It's like the view from Mansfield Park.
It couldn't be more English. Glorious.
Mansfield Park, where Fanny Price is somehow saying goodbye to the pre-industrial revolution Britain that's lasted for generations. Yeah. Even though Jane Austen can't possibly have known that the industrial revolution was coming, she kind of did. It's a wonderful thing.
This does harken back to a bygone age, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Public school, kids playing in the thing, cricket season about to begin. Did they have labrapoodles in Elizabethan times?
I think they had labradoodles.
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 Yeah.
I saw a dog the other day. It was really big. It was mastiff. They don't have... there's no crosses, apart from posh crosses like that that have names.
Yeah.
Like cockapoos and labradoodles. Dogs that with no discernible breed don't sell anymore. People only have posh dogs, don't they?
Right.
They only have pure breeds and obvious crosses.
Yeah.
You've got to feel sorry. But in the old days, you know, you could just have a dog that was absolutely unique to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what is it?
Complete
I don't
mongroloid.
Know. It's just our dog.
Just got together with something.
Yeah. So, talking of Jane Austen, which was my specialist subject on Mastermind.
Yeah.
I did a celebrity quiz this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say which one. It'll be on telly one day, and I was probably not supposed to. All I'll say is, as a competitive person,
yeah,
it wasn't that good for me.
Right. Okay. Who were the other celebs there?
I'm not sure I'm even allowed to tell you that.
All right, okay.
But, you know, I've won those things before, and this time I...
Can you give us one other celeb? You can surely give us one.
Boris Johnson's dad and sister.
Really? The Johnsons were there?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I was thinking, because I also ran to that place. I remember when we were down by the canal going to Primrose Hill on that 17-miler.
Yeah.
You said that I'd claimed I wasn't competitive. And I was thinking, no, I don't think I did. But I can see why he thought that. Because what it is I don't like to compete. And that's not the same as not being competitive. It's because I'm too competitive. Yeah, I don't like to compete because I hate to lose.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So, but it's trying to get to the level beyond that, where you don't mind losing so much, but you just like competing for just competing sake.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good at that with like, games and things.
Because winning and losing doesn't matter, does it?
No, I get that. If I was
playing
a hand of cards, that's exactly how I would feel. But if you get in a situation where you feel like someone else is taking it seriously, then there's a J on the branch. There's a J in that tree. There it goes. I will never get a picture of a J. They just move too fast. But we've got them up here in these woods. So,
But we've talked about this before, the competition thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of like that thing of the finish of races.
Yeah.
Which I want to write an article about, actually, for Runner's World, because it's a thing of like, am I going to go for this? He's going for it.
Yeah.
Well, if he's going to go it, then I'm not going to. Or maybe I will because he's. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's a decision, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't like that. I really don't. I think because on the one hand, it's like there's some selfishness has to happen. Some stranger right, on the Sunday in the Crouchend 10K.
Yeah.
Some stranger pulls up next to me.
Yeah.
And he starts. He's in my personal space.
Yeah.
Or she.
Why are they in your personal space?
You know, I'm just feeling him in my space. And he's going for it. He's using me to get a good speed off.
Right.
Now, at that moment, one of two things is going to happen, neither of which I'll feel good about.
Right.
One, he's pacing off of me. And I think, don't you pace off of me. I'm not here for you.
Right.
I'm not here to support your run.
Yeah.
We don't have a relationship, you know.
Right.
I feel used.
Right.
Or I think, all right then, come on then. And I race them.
Yeah.
And then I feel aggressive and combative. And I don't want to be either of those people.
But why can't you transcend both those and just say, by lining up and paying for entry,
yeah,
we've embarked on this thing called a race.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know you, but you're a runner, so we've obviously got a few things in common.
Yeah.
Not only that, we're about the same level.
Yeah.
We both know that this isn't really important.
Yeah, that's the bit I don't trust him.
It's the sign of a...
Just him or me to know.
But it's a sign of a really healthy society that we even have running as a sport.
Yeah.
As opposed to a means of survival.
Yeah.
We're doing really well as a culture. We ski down mountains for fun.
So what you're really saying is that if I race this guy to the finish line, we're celebrating the success of capitalism.
No, it's not. Well, not really, no. It's just seeing it for what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost by deciding not to race, you're making it more important than it is. It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you enjoy it more not racing, then don't race. But don't be ashamed if you want to try and out-sprint him.
But can I...
It's a laugh.
Can I run and run fast without racing?
Well, you tell me.
I mean, is that...
What, in terms of without racing other
balance?
People?
Could I be there? I suppose if I'm on the motorway driving my car and I scope out one of these other drivers,
yeah,
who drives competitively. You get this a lot because we're often driving on Saturday nights.
Yes.
When no one's driving except kids.
Yeah, kids and people who have to be out and they want to get home quick.
Yeah, yeah. So you get this thing where, you know, I'm coming along at the same speed. There's no change to my speed at all.
Yeah.
And I overtake.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The car.
Yeah.
And the next second...
He's overtaking you.
It's overtaking me. And then yeah. It goes a little bit past me. Slows down.
Yeah.
End up overtaking again.
Whilst my speed, the same speed, yeah.
My speed never changes.
Yeah.
And I'm getting more and more cross.
So you drive like you run?
Yeah, very much so.
Right. You're like you're steady. I'm driving at my classic 710, 715.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm getting more and more cross. Yeah. So what we're talking about is a failure of me to interact.
No, no, not at all. It's just like...
here's a film quote challenge. Now, what we have here...
Is a failure to...
Is a communication problem. Or a failure to communicate. No, which of those is it? It's one of those.
I can remember it, but I can't remember
We just crossed the road, by the way. We came out of gorgeous, slightly misty Highgate Wood and just went through the tunnel.
I think that... obviously, the driving thing's a different thing because you're totally disconnected from people there because you're in a kind of steel weapon, basically.
Steel kill what? And equally, if the like you say, if you can find a way, if you can find whatever it is that helps you find that strong finish and use whatever you've got in your tank is a good thing.
But I don't want to... I don't feel overly aggressive, necessarily. They just help you run faster.
Combative. Combative is the word.
Yeah, it's competitive, but they make you run faster, don't they?
Yeah.
I run faster in races.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, I understand what this is. It's a race. And I get that.
But isn't that a beautiful thing? That's why a marathon or a park run is only a race if you want it to be.
Yeah, so as all races are.
No, that's not true. If the spirit of the 10K is that it's a race, and
well,
if you're not racing, you're not taking it seriously.
No, it's seen as a crouch end fun run.
Yeah, well, I think even that.
I know people who do, that's the only run they do a year.
Yeah.
Not the only race they do a year, the only run they do a year.
Yeah, but they're really...
They're not racing.
But they're really strict about the headphones.
Yeah. Oh, so it's all about the headphones for you.
Well, I think that's a talisman. Right. It's a talisman of how man runny it is.
It becomes a race when you can't listen to music.
Don't make it about me.
No, but I'm saying...
I'm saying about the run. I'm saying that it's a slightly ascetic, masculine, monkish run for serious runners who like to have a bit of fun. And I think it's the old attitude to running. I think it's very mid-20th century.
So you're saying that women don't like to race?
No, I'm saying it's a masculine mindset. I don't think women love to race. I think they're good at it. They do it without any of this pissing competition stuff. Does that count as a swear?
No, but why is it a pissing competition to want to beat someone in a race? I don't understand.
Because then they go, ugh! You know, it's like when people come on and say, ugh! You know, just start to... You get that kind of trash talky factor. It's only men who do that. Well, maybe women do, but I don't know.
I just think it's...
Don't you think that people are competitive and in an uncomfortable way? It's not all beautiful. It's not like a hippie race.
I just think it's healthy. I think games
you just like
and races where people want to beat other people is a healthy... I think it's a healthy thing. And I think you feel it as well.
No, I think I feel more complicated about it because I think you're right in terms of loving a run and wanting to go fast.
Careful.
But equally... We're letting some bikes go past here.
Here's another one.
I've got no relationship with sport. That's my thing.
No, but you have. Because you've run marathons.
Yeah, that's right. But wider sport, competitive sport, following sport.
Yeah.
Playing team games.
Yeah.
You know, when I was little, going right back to Raiders of the Lost Ark, my brother and my dad, and not my mum, were really into... Sportsman.
Football and all that.
Football, yeah. Cricket, my dad played. Yeah. They're really good at it, and I'm sure that they laid it out for me to be a part of that scene, and I didn't get into it. Maybe it's just my nature. I think part of it was knowing that winning was important, and knowing that being the little one, I would always lose.
Yeah.
And that sowed a bunch of seeds.
But that's sort of. But that's over now.
Yeah, but then what?
You're an adult.
Yeah, what's the difference between that being over and me getting over myself? We're starting from a point of me being wrong.
No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You're saying. You feel complicated about it.
Yeah. But I'm not going to suddenly come around to your point of view and relax.
There's no point of view. You're obviously
I think you've got a point of view.
No, but you're training harder for the marathon to get faster, aren't you?
Yeah.
For the next marathon.
Yeah, but then you see, ultimately. I see the distinction of competing with myself.
Yeah.
That's the only person I'm happy competing with. And I see the balancing act, the difficult bit, is using the people around me
to
compete with myself. But then I still...
That's what I'm saying.
I'm slightly uncomfortable with it, as is clear. What do you think, listeners? Am I deluding myself?
But does that... If you compete with yourself, does that mean that you beat yourself?
I beg your pardon?
Do you pronounce yourself a victor? I've defeated myself. What are you defeating in yourself?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? We always play for the PB. But it was a great moment for me when the clear voice in my head, the running voice, which I think when I wasn't running, I'd always assume wanted the best possible performance.
Yeah.
But then I was doing a run and I said to myself, you know, imagine if you get older and slower and that's the fastest you ever run. And the voice in my head said... Yeah, so?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It doesn't matter, you know, and that's great. But,
that's how I feel, yeah.
But equally, it's nice to, you know, to do better. And it was interesting with the marathon. You know, in the wider scheme of things, my just over 3.5 is a good time.
Of course it is.
You're layman.
It's a great time.
All the mums and dads at school, oh, well done.
It's a great time.
And I have to so fight the years to go and say, well, I've done it better in the past.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
There's no need for that at all.
No.
It's a great time.
So instead of finding a way for me to relax about competing with other people, we found a way for me to not even enjoy competing with myself. Damn it. So.
I suppose it's like, if you're fit and you're up for it, it just adds another level of drama to the day.
Yeah.
If someone goes past you with like... Listen, I'm not. Sometimes people go past me like 400 metres to go.
Yeah.
And I slow down so that they can.
Or if you've got Dame Kelly Holmes coming up behind you.
Yeah, but I'll slow down so they can, because I'm just not too tired. I'm not arsed. I just can't do it. There's nothing in me to do it.
Yeah, that's
including the desire to do it.
Yeah. And in a marathon, I know that when I'm running it, is that ultimately, it doesn't matter. Use anything. Use what you got.
Yeah.
Nothing's real and everything is.
But sometimes I'll go past me 400 metres to go, and I think,
I'm not having that.
I think I'm going to have him. And I like that. Yeah. It gives me a drama. It makes it.
Well, it's clarity, isn't it? It's clarity either way.
Yeah.
I mean, when someone goes past you and think, oh, well, there they go.
Yeah.
That's a really clear relationship with your body.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
I'm knackered. You're not.
On paper, I can't have to run after that person. In practice, never going to happen.
Yeah.
So, but then that's also different going right back to your runs at the weekend. It's different over different distances, isn't it? And I really will find it difficult to run 10K without music. Yeah. But I ran my last 10K without music, you know, because they're often quite strict on that.
Right.
I think it's because they're small road runs, the roads aren't closed, the marshals need to have power. But I would also always argue that a 10K is a slightly serious run for serious runners.
Right.
I stand by that.
But some people say it's an interim run for people who can't yet handle the half marathon.
At least half
of the people are purely fun runners.
But do you think demographically, do you think it's got the same feel as a marathon or half marathon?
Of course it hasn't, no.
No.
Because it's less of a distance.
Yeah.
But for people...
Which allows for a kind of sprinty, grabby rawiness that you can't get over a longer distance. Longer distance is more automatically zen. Whatever speed you're running at.
Yeah, there's people... If you're an aggressive mindset, there's aggressive people trying to beat 3 hours for the marathon.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Nudging each other and swearing. And
we've just got up to Ali Pali and it's started to really rain.
It is raining.
It's nice though. Probably not so good for the phones in my hands.
Or the... do you think it's going to be okay for the... We've run before in the rain, haven't we?
Yeah, they should be fine.
They should be okay.
The recorders! He's talking about the recorders!
Often you'll find, in my experience, that the most competitive runners are often the most gentle people when they're not running.
That's interesting. So it's somewhere to put it.
Yeah. Like really nicely soft-spoken. And just maniacs when they get out there, you know. Because it is a safe dispersal of an aggressive impulse, isn't it?
Safe dispersal, like when you use your sponge.
Yeah.
Different kind of safe dispersal.
But no one's getting hurt, are they?
Misty London. Let's see if I can get a picture of that, because that's really spectacular. It's not misty, really. It's rainy. Get a few. It's not really coming out in the photo. It's incredible.
Can I put a brief Zen saying at this point? The sound of the rain needs no translation.
Oh, nice. I love the sound of the rain. It's funny. Got flat roofs in our house. And when the rain really comes down, it's incredible. And you think, it's like being in a tent.
Yeah.
And then when you're in a tent and it rains like that, you think, oh my God, I hope the tent doesn't fall down. Yeah. Although having said that, then, that's exactly what we thought this time last year when we were in Cumbria in a yurt. But, for other middle class details.
I've never been to a yurt. It sounds good fun though.
Well, ask my wife and she'll disabuse you of that notion. but it was good and bad. Good and bad. But then we went to a festival.
Yeah.
And of course the rain provided a great sound leveller. And where other people partying and music in the distance had kept us awake the night before, the loud yet steady rain got us all a good night's sleep.
That's good, yeah. It can get quite soothing, can't it?
Yeah.
So this is a run with the loads, isn't it? Round the top of Ali Pali.
Yeah, and when we do this 10K on Sunday...
It kind of takes us around here a bit.
Yeah, that's right. Which is nice. I wonder what the weather's going to be like at the weekend.
So I suppose this leads us naturally into... what you're after for the 10K.
Yeah, well, I mean,
it's okay. At the end of that... convoluted, slightly complicated philosophical inquiry into the nature of competition.
Well, I think we found some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that going back right to the beginning, I don't think I'm quite ready after the marathon
for a racy race.
Do my best stuff.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I do feel pretty fit.
Yeah.
I think it's more kind of legs and twinges.
Yeah.
I think lungs and energy-wise, yeah, I'm pretty good to go. I think it'll be a question of getting out there, trying to run the best on the day and then using that to assess where I'm at. Yeah. But then you were really fit for the marathon, so it's a different situation. The marathon showed me where I was at very clearly, you know, for better or worse. But so like, this will be that only over shorter distance.
You will find yourself, it's likely that you'll find yourself stronger than you expect just because you've got those miles in your
That's
legs.
Right, absolutely.
You feel the second lap, don't you, of those 10Ks? You think,
I expect
wow,
to feel good.
Strong.
That's right. And of course, there are, you always rate everything below your achievement level at naught.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing. It's just the feeling that there's people in front of you and people behind you, you know, it's healthy. But on the other hand, I just don't want to hope too much, you know. I don't want to be disappointed in myself if I'm running it 3, 5, 10 minutes slower than
Absolutely.
The last time
of course
I did one.
You don't. No.
You know.
You shouldn't be putting any pressure on yourself at all, really.
Yeah.
At this stage. There's just no point.
It's always nice to do a run you've run before.
Yeah. Because you know it a bit better. And I felt like that with London. Obviously, I've run it so many times now, but it had been a few years.
It just feels shorter.
It does, yeah.
Because you're joining the dots in your head. There's no big empty spaces
your
of imagination.
Your brain's dragging you into the finish, isn't it?
Yeah. And Crouch End's a nice route. It's a bit like Bath, isn't it? It's kind of a double loop, but it's slightly cleverly
It's a bit messy and quirky and twisty-turny, and there's a few hills, but it's all right.
Yeah.
Well, last year you did what? Just under 42, did you? Was it? I can't remember.
No, I think just over 42. I did just under 42 in the Harrogate Hill Town half. I mean 10K.
Right.
41:59, in fact. Yeah. It was just kind of ridiculous. So that's my most recent 10K. And that's a year ago. So, you know, whatever result I get, that will be the one I'm comparing it with. The one I'm going back towards.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
I really wonder what it would be like. It was a hot day last time, and it was hot for the Saturday half. It's cold for the marathon. I think if the 10K was like this, it'd be nice, although it wouldn't be nice for the hanging around and stuff.
Last year I just ran it with my son.
Yeah.
And with the aim to beat 50 minutes for him, pacing through. And we managed to beat 45, sort of by chance, really.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed just helping him.
Yeah.
Just running with him. It was great. It was a lovely feeling.
I went for a run with my son the other day.
Yeah.
He really isn't competitive.
Yeah.
He loves a good game.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been included in sports at school.
Right.
So he hasn't got the taste for it, but he's quite physically apt.
Yeah.
When he gets into something, he's good at frisbee. And his running style. We saw him running for a frisbee once last summer, like, you know, 10 paces.
Like a natural moment.
And we both went, oh, it was like the end of Jerry Maguire. So, that's a lovely form. But, you know, like anyone with sense, you take him out for a run, he's like, oh, I want to stop running.
Yeah.
But I really felt, for the first time when we ran the other day, I mean, we just ran around a really little park right near us, but I could see, on the one hand, I could see my joy in getting him to a park run.
Yes.
I'd like to get all my family to the park run.
Yes.
And but conversely, the long and gentle route we'd have to take to get there, so that he wouldn't go, sod that.
Yeah.
Which, again, quite reasonable, you know. That's always how I would have felt about that at that time, playing
that
in the back of my mind.
That thing that makes it so pleasurable is it's the utter simplicity of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
The complete convenience of running, that it's always at hand.
Yeah.
Even if you're just on your way, you're late for the tube or something, you can just run and you get a bit of a glimpse of it, don't you? It's just there.
Yeah.
It's ever ready.
No, funnily enough, I think when I started running, I often forget this, and it was a crucial moment that year when I'd lost weight and I was doing quite a lot of exercise and feeling pretty good about my body. But before I started running 3 times a week, I ran back to the car for some keys that we really needed. Oh no, we've forgotten the keys.
Yeah.
And I ran all the way to the car and back. It was probably about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I did it, and I just felt amazing.
Yeah.
So I can't believe I did that.
That's when you realise.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had that when we were coming back from skiing in France once, from Dover down the A2, whatever it was.
And you were running behind the car.
Well, no, we did the classic, you know, we'll refuel in Dover, whatever.
That's where we'll be. Sorry, I'm going to take a little detour. Yeah. This is where the 10K is going to go. And this is actually quite a good bit, because you come up here and you go off along there and it looks flat. It isn't. It's a long, slow climb off across the front of the hill. And it sorts the men from the boys a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the women from the girls. So, sorry, A2, Dover.
No, so we just ran out of petrol. on the motorway.
That's feeling is when you run out of petrol. That's when you really feel it. Yeah. Oh, wait.
So, but I got to do that thing where you pick up the petrol canister and run 2 miles down the motorway to the petrol station. That thing that everyone wants to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I quite enjoyed it because it felt quite dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was also nice that you were fit enough to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That I will be back in about 20 minutes as opposed to like an hour.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's because we can run.
And also, and that's really great, fundamentally, and maybe this ties in with the whole competitive thing, you feel like a hero. You know, it's a quest.
Yeah.
You come back and everyone will go, you succeeded, and you go, yes, yes, I did.
You managed to be simultaneously a hero and an absolute idiot in the first place of running out of petrol. So it's one of those, isn't it? Because it's only you that run out of petrol. But
I've filled a car up, not once but twice, with the wrong kind of petrol.
Oh, so.
And the second time, I can't believe I did it a second time.
Yeah.
But I did it in London, and, you know, it was so complicated because disposing of the diesel, there's loads of bylaws.
Nightmare.
So they had to take the car to Leatherhead and remove the fuel tank and then dispose of the diesel responsibly. The first time I did it in the services in Belgium.
Yeah.
And this bloke came and just pumped the diesel out into the car park, just onto the ground. I think he was smoking while he did it.
The environment, you're smoking on the phone.
And toying with a flamethrower.
And that's why we have to stay in Europe for moments like that.
Yeah, that's right. Remain.
Yeah, well, I think we will remain. It's going to be interesting. There's 42 days left, isn't there? So.
Yeah, but going to be interesting is a bit strong, that's the thing. It was a nice moment for London, the mayoral election.
Yeah, it was great.
But ultimately, the elections and... It's exciting stuff and it's important, but it's not Game of Thrones, is it?
No.
It's not the thrill ride it should be. Because people, not because it isn't. I don't mean, politics is boring. I mean, because the whole community is very disengaged.
Yeah.
It's less to do with us than it should be.
No one were really bothered about the London mayoral election. I mean, I voted, but no one was really that bothered.
That's why the dog whistle campaign was so incredibly misjudged. It kind of woke everyone up.
Yeah.
It didn't just not win it, it lost it.
To be honest, I don't even think Zach Goldsmith was down with it. I don't know what he was doing.
No, but he signed up to it, didn't he? That's no excuse.
He's just a tough environmentalist. He was in way over his head, wasn't he?
He came out like the night before saying, oh, by the way, I'm also an environmentalist.
Yeah.
Too late, mate.
Yeah.
You tried to trump it. That was basically, they went all in on Donald Trump politics and London showed the world that people don't all think like that, thank goodness. And also, hopefully, the rest of Britain is reminded that London doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as Westminster and business and the media, you know? There's a real community here. Quite a diverse community.
Yeah, I just don't think people are that engaged.
No.
I think Europe gets people going, which could be the problem in terms of the Brexit, because it might get people engaged to leave.
Did you smell that hogweed? That really smelled bad. Yeah. Didn't smell good, it smelled bad.
But the older, more conservative voter might come out en masse, wouldn't
you? Yeah. Well, you know, you can always find lots of people to agree with whatever your viewpoint is on Facebook, but it wasn't Facebook that won the general election, and then Facebook goes, oh, I can't believe it. It's like, calm down, you're not the world.
Yeah.
So although, we love it on Facebook, and we'd like to see you there looking at our pictures. And
yeah.
Or on Twitter.
We're not talking about Facebook running commentary.
No, I mean, that's the home of good stuff on Facebook. Let's be clear on that. Ali Pally in the rain. Brilliant. It's really, really dramatic. You're absolutely right. There's just been a quintessential Englishness to this run today. Ali Pally in this greenness.
I think they're playing some sort of hockey or some kind of old
French
school.
Cricket.
I don't know what they're doing.
I think they're playing a... What's the game they play in the Fantastic Mr. Fox? Where you get 2 points, you have to run around in a circle.
Yeah.
And then you shout, hot pucks, and go into the square.
That's a great move, isn't it? I think they're just playing rounders, aren't they? Are they?
Yeah, no one knows.
Rounders,
I think they're playing throw mud.
Yeah.
Throw the mud. Stop throwing mud!
Yeah. Stop it!
If you haven't heard that episode of Running Commentary, that was a callback to one of Paul's stories from a few weeks ago. So, how fast do you think you're going to go at this 10K?
Well, I'm going to try and... It's like London, like that, like... If a really fast alien suddenly possessed my body and I became someone else.
It's quite a big if.
Yeah. I'd beat 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I'd be really happy with anything under 41. And I'd take anything under 42.
Yeah.
And it's all good. And if I suddenly get really tired and I just can't race post London, I'll just accept it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's one of those. Absolutely.
I'm not putting too much mental energy into it, but I will go out with the idea of trying to. Well,
as ever, I'll be slightly behind you on that. I think if I get anywhere near 42, I'll just be happy that I can get a whiff of my old fitness.
Yeah.
But I think a 10k in 45 is the rougher marker.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it.
I think the main thing, as ever, if you can, especially with the short distances, is just save something for the second lap.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so you're overtaking people on the
Absolutely.
Second lap.
Absolutely.
That negative split is way more possible over 10k than
Absolutely.
A marathon. And if you can get in that groove, the second lap's just much more fun.
But you know when the next real deadline in my diary is? And I will bear in mind what you were saying about getting injured after a marathon.
Yeah.
In a few weeks.
Yeah.
I think the very beginning of July. So how long is that? 5 weeks, 6 weeks?
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Manchester.
Right.
I'm going to go to South Manchester Park.
Do the park run, right.
I'm going to beat my PB.
Right.
That's the schedule.
No, but that's a really... That's good. That's
a good aim, isn't it? It's realistic.
Because it's also you getting faster over shorter distances.
Yeah, yeah.
In the summer, that's what it means.
Yep.
And that'll be... And it doesn't mean too much high mileage, because you want to leave it till... You know, into July and August before you start hitting the high miles.
Yeah, yeah. And then in August, I'll be in July and August, I'll be in Wales and Scotland, so I can get that hill strength in as well.
Yeah.
So it's quite exciting here.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Is it raining harder? Is it just because we're under trees?
I think it's raining harder.
It's getting there. It's pretty nice. Although we might have been back by now if we hadn't been wandering around our bare feet.
Yeah.
That was good. I hope you all understand what we got up to there. I think we really worked something through, didn't we?
We're taking our shoes off.
We weren't holding hands.
Shoes and socks and pants. What?
Oh, God, have you got a massage coming up?
Yeah.
So you have to see if you can come to Manchester and coach me through that. We'll both get a PB.
I'd love to.
In the park.
At some point, we'll gig together in Manchester and do it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be doing a lot of park runs in the summer.
Yeah.
To try and get a chisel.
I think someone might be starting a park run in Clissold Park. That's interesting.
That'd be great, wouldn't
it? Want to go and try the Hackney Marshes park run, where the Hackney Half started the other day. Very flat. Very flat over there.
I'm doing that Golden Mile thing.
Oh, great.
In the middle
of I wish I could do that. I'll be in Edinburgh. But I'll do the Edinburgh park run that weekend. And then... I know it's too soon to ask, but then what do you want from the Yorkshire Marathon?
Well, I'm after sub three.
Sub three.
Definitely, the dream remains.
Good.
Because the...
So you're going to knock off like 11 minutes?
I'm going to try to, yeah.
You ran well. It's a big ask.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a good ask, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, is it the fastest course, would you say?
You've
done it before, haven't you?
It's my fastest course, but it's hilly.
It's hilly, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how hilly?
Not that hilly.
Right.
It's not flat.
Right. So are the downhill stretches as well?
No, it's all up. It's laid out by MC Esher.
Continuously.
So it just keeps going up.
Uphill stretch.
It's basically up this kind of square staircase.
Right.
And you just keep running up it. And there's no distance.
And you run your best time on that.
That's right. you start off downhill.
Right.
And which doesn't
Danger.
Really notice at the time.
Yeah.
Until you get to the end, you get to these traffic lights.
Yeah.
And literally, maybe about half a mile to go.
Right.
You turn left. And there's a hill, like a proper hill.
What, at the end?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's real, it's brilliant. This is kind of...
Classic.
You have got to be kidding me.
Classic Yorkshire.
Yeah. That's really... And it's really good for me when I had that, when I was on for sub 3:15. Because it was like the final... You know, I'd got to a point where I was thinking, wow, I'm going to make this.
Yeah.
And then I turned into that hill.
Bastard.
And it was like a good hard slap to the face.
Yeah.
You think you're going to make this? Run up this. Slap.
But you did make it.
Yeah, totally. And I think it makes a very exciting finish. It's definitely bumpy the whole rest of the way.
Right.
I think that they... Don't be misled by me getting good time. I think that was just timing for me.
Right.
But again, I don't know. It was foggy as well.
Maybe I'll, try and beat my PB with a more of a look to beating sub-3 at London, because I know London.
Yeah.
I know the course. I know what it is. And, but just
I don't want to put you off that aim. Don't want to put you off that aim for a sub-3, though.
No, but if it's hilly, then it might not be achievable.
Yeah. Well, you could go off to Berlin. That's flat.
No, I don't want to do Berlin.
Blooming Berlin. We can't cross here.
We can cross here.
We're in Priory Park now.
It's absolutely
Really pouring with rain. Yeah. So hopefully there's been no technical issues there. Particularly as we've really hit on some wonderful truths, haven't we?
It's been nice. Yeah, it's been great.
And this is where we'll be on Sunday morning for the mythical Crouch End 10K. So if you're in London and
the
it's pouring with rain.
Fun run 10K.
And it starts at 9:30. Yeah. Isn't that a bit ascetic? That's not really a party time to start a run, is it?
But then London starts at 10 and that's a marathon.
That's true.
It's not offensively early. Park run starts at 9.
Then they give us donuts at the end, which is very nice.
And a medal and a t-shirt.
But the donut feels a bit like the pleasure pain principle.
Yeah.
You've suffered through your run. Now eat your jam.
Running for the donut.
And if you don't like jam donuts, I'll give you a ring. Just a little joke for you there.
What I do at the end of the Crouch End 10K as well is develop this tradition of running back down the course to meet a mate, one of my best mates, Julie.
Yeah.
And she's the one who, it's her one run of the year.
Right.
So she doesn't do any training.
Right.
She just does it in about an hour and 10. So I just run back down the course and meet her and jog in.
And bring her in. Oh, that's she's nice. There with her. And is that fun for her or irritating?
I've never actually asked her. No, I think she enjoys it. But to be honest, she's normally listening to music, so I don't know.
What?
Yeah, she's listening.
They've had more and more of that. People have been killed in accidents. They haven't. They imply that they have.
I like the finish of the Crouch End 10K, because you come into the park, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And do that little leg round it. Suddenly you're on grass for the end, and there's loads of
racing supporters. Strangers.
I really like that bit.
Who then go over the line and go, and I come over the line and think, why aren't I as tired as that? Not this year, though. I'm going to give it some. I've learnt, we've talked about it.
If someone's there with you with 200 metres to go.
I'm going to find a way to race that stranger. Come on, strangers. Let's embrace the spirit of competition.
Embrace the race.
And then embrace each other in a gasping, sweaty celebration of our physical exertions.
What I won't have in races is people overtaking me beyond the finishing line. You know those people who
the finishing
line. Half a second behind you?
Yeah, the finishing line is spiritually sacrosanct.
I'm sorry, this is the finish line.
Yeah.
Get back.
But ultimately, that's their sadness, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a tiny version of the woman cheating on the marathon.
Yeah.
Because who are you trying to kid? No, it's already happened.
She's tried to reframe that, though, that she had a panic attack, confused and ended up running the wrong way.
Oh, so she's a cheat and a liar? Well, now I really approve.
Have you not read her interview in OK Magazine?
Funnily enough, no. Right. OK, I think it's a bit strong. Yeah. A very bad magazine.
Not OK. But she.
Not OK, man.
She's saying she had an anxiety attack.
I wonder if we can get that Jamie Oliver scooter guy to give us a backy.
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm glad you said that about the funnel, because it reminded me of something really beautiful, which I should remember in this context.
Yeah.
Which is when I did my speedy half marathon at the Royal Parks.
Yeah.
That guy who clearly used me to get a really good time.
Yeah.
So he was totally, I was, as discussed, just completely
pacing it.
Steady one speed.
Yeah.
So he just hung behind me.
Yeah.
Used me. Had no, he wasn't dissing my speed at all. I was making a good pace. He was staying with it.
Yeah.
And then at the finish line, he overtook me.
Yeah.
And then he came over. He was really chuffed. He thanked me, shook my hand. And that was the first I'd known of it.
That's great. That's
and,
amazing.
And I didn't begrudge
really nice
him that at all.
Yeah.
So that's really...
So you don't mind people racing as long as they thank you afterwards?
No, as long as it's in good part. Exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And equally, I was completely passive there.
Yeah.
But I got a good time too.
Well, you're not passive because you're setting a good pace, aren't you, I suppose?
No,
I mean,
that's right.
It's testament to your pace that people want to key off it.
That's right. And
if
I'm never...
they're not going to follow an idiot.
No, that's right. And I'm never going to find a sprint. I mean, like those guys at the park run who come steaming past at the end.
Yeah.
They're amazing and they're getting incredible times. But I still think if you've got that much of a gear change, you should have been running faster before.
Should maybe use it up, yeah.
Yeah. And this is people who are running minutes faster than me.
Yeah.
I still think they're getting it wrong.
What, you talk about the guys who lap you?
Yeah, or whatever, the guys who just appear. I think they're slightly, at some level, despite really thinking about their pace and really timing their race, I think they're slightly leaning into the drama of the gear change.
Right.
And as a result, at some level,
they could be going faster.
They're keeping something back.
Yeah.
I mean, particularly over 5K, what to them could potentially be 15 minutes.
Yeah.
In the end, you just want to be running as fast as you can all of the time.
Yeah.
If they're that young and fit,
you should have something left, but if you've got loads left, then there's been a bit of a...
Exactly. Yeah, there's something left, it's fine. But they're pulling a big... They're like two gears, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sorry, the road is so noisy. It's really... coming down. The road's wet.
Here we go.
I feel a bit sad about the rain today, because I think it's...
Quick.
I think it's very, very wet all over Britain. And today's the day they reopen the main road up through the middle of the Lake District.
All right.
After it's been closed the whole winter.
And now it's raining.
Yeah, I hope that they don't have to close it again. But there we are. It rains a lot up there.
So you're at that level where you can run 7-8 miles and just not feel it at all, really?
Yeah.
Post-marathon, really, haven't you? Absolutely. You've got all that distance in it.
Yeah. No, and I think, I'm sure... As ever, you know, I don't want to lose anyone who's, like, considering a run or doing a 5K. But I really like the way I seem to very organically drifted to the point of doing a kind of 2 marathons a year rhythm. Yeah. But it's a good...
I think that's a good rhythm to get into.
It's
a good
rhythm. It means you're not going crazy with it. They're far enough apart that, you know... You can actually have a life.
You can have a little rest after the
running,
first one, yeah.
But it just keeps the thing kind of simmering.
And also, I realised when it was so sunny and I wanted to get out running that I want to have a race at the end of all this running. Because if it's going to... I love running in the summer.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be doing my mileage.
Absolutely.
So let's have a race at the end of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'll have to run some... I'm talking last time about interesting people. We're going to sort that out. Going to run in some interesting places.
Yeah.
Find some places to go. I was in the West Country last weekend. It's good down there. I met some runners. Good stuff. You have to run in another country. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Places, things, you know.
We've got the diarise.
Yeah.
With intent too.
That's right. And, you know, in terms of our jobs and our families... Oh, they'll just wait, won't they?
They'll be fine. Running does... It can fit in around stuff, can't it?
It's interesting.
An hour.
Going back to your petrol can run.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I always thought there's a really strong argument for... if you want to get into exercise...
Run out of petrol.
Using exercise to get you where you go. You know, get on your bike.
Yeah.
Run to work. All this stuff. But I absolutely love running off and then just running back, you know, for no good reason.
It's like
I think, if anything, it's a holiday.
Yeah.
And in terms of, there's a really good article, actually, by Melissa Dahl in the New York Times, which was that stuff about the actual biology of how a run makes you feel better.
Right.
Helps you grow new brain cells. Move on from... It makes you stronger in dealing with stressful situations. So there was an experiment they did where people did a run or didn't do a run.
Yeah.
And the people who didn't do a run did different exercise, so they weren't doing nothing.
Right.
And they showed them a... I think it was like a traumatic video. And the thing was, everyone was equally upset about it.
Yeah.
But then they interviewed them like an hour after that.
Yeah.
And the people who'd done the run...
Had entered a marathon.
They'd got over it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And just a bit more chilled.
And I think that thing, I really think that... I mean, I know I'm a running evangelist, but, I think it's a... a medically good treatment for, you know, stress, depression and stuff. And I think it actually works best for that. If you take it in that way, in that I'm not running anywhere, I'm not running to work and back, I'm not carrying a metaphorical or actual rucksack.
Yes.
I'm just running.
It's got that play element, which is why it's nice to stop off and have a few sprints every now and again, or if you feel like stretching mid-run, just have a stretch, because that's what your body needs then.
That's what you are. You're the spirit of fartlek.
But just... it has to remain fun.
Hey, this is good, because we're going up this last just quite steep hill.
We're behind a
rubbish truck.
All right, mate.
It smells pretty bad. I was going to get a picture of it, but I think the...
That looks a bit aggressive. You might have ended up in the back of it.
And now it was the phone for the pictures is complaining about the rain now.
Right.
I'm going to get back to your house and put the phones in a big bowl of rice. Do you remember Woody Bop Muddy?
Yes, I save it.
Woody Bop Muddy was a comedian. Huge in his day. He was a big closing act. And it just goes to show how much sillier UK comedy was. Because the main body of his act, he used to pull out old records and get the audience to vote on whether to save it or destroy it.
Yeah. And he was a nail it. He'd nail it to his board, wouldn't he, if they didn't like it?
Yeah.
And people get so emotional.
Yeah. Real passion.
He'd stick on Dancing Queen or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd go, save it! Nail it!
And in between,
absolute carnage.
He'd take a handful of rice and rub it into the top of a broom, saying, rice. Just fantastic. It was a different time.
Well, this is nice. We've reached the end of the run. What are the numbers in terms of distance?
Yeah, I'll tell you. While I'm getting that up,
gorgeous.
Sum up that run in one sentence.
Hot English.
It was very English, wasn't it? I don't think my little phone...
grass.
My phone can't handle the... It was 7 miles.
That's cool. We'll take that.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, get in touch.
Refreshing. Get in touch, running commentary. Tell us what you're doing this summer. As I say, we're doing the Yorkshire Marathon, various small races. Any idea for quirky races, like little midweekers that we might be able to do?
Yeah.
Nip off midweek.
We're looking at evening, we're looking at night time, possible
spooky
sprint, this stuff. And keep in touch. It's always, you know, we love talking to you online. We want to be, we're not the only people in this conversation.
That's great.
We're going to go and wash all the mud off our feet.
Awesome.
Farewell.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.